I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for some date, and it's the 222nd episode, September 2nd. All right, I screwed that up. I couldn't find the number, but yeah, 222. It's September 2nd, 2019. Dude. Scott Johnson, Brian Dunaway. Hi.
So many twos there. You could just back up and punt it and said it's the Labor Day in the U.S.
Yeah, I could have. It is Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, Brian.
Yeah. Happy Labor Day to you, Laborist Day.
I haven't been very labory today. I spent a lot of time with the kids, and we had breakfast and chilled out, and you know, kind of hung out for a while, and then finally came down here to do some actual work. So it's been, you know, it's been all right.
Oh, actual work. Yeah. That's great.
A little bit of work, mostly in World of Warcraft, but I'll get to that in a minute. Hey, I had a quick question for you. I have a quick question for you. So we haven't talked about this because it's just not a thing we talk about. But you know the Humble Bundle deal? Or not Humble Bundle. Loot Crate thing. They kind of started that whole craze. And then everybody was making crates. And you could all get different crates from everybody and all that. They announced they're going away. They're folding. They're done.
No.
So did you know? A, did you know about that? And B, how does that make you feel?
I didn't know the Loot Crate was out. That's too bad. It's a good idea, but there's a lot of competition out there now. I mean, I even seen every time I get on Facebook, because I look up drawing and sketching and stuff, so I'm always getting advertised for the sketch box. I don't know if I want a sketchy box, but a sketch box, that might be okay.
Might be all right.
What's in the box?
Yeah, what's in the box? Gwyneth Paltrow's head. Hey, but look at this. Loot Crate files for bankruptcy. This is 18 days ago. And they laid off over 50 people, which is a lot considering they didn't have that many people to begin with. But they were kind of the premier name. Like, they were the big name. I'm not so sure it's competition as much as it is. I don't think that's as sustainable an idea as people might have thought it was. Because at some point, you're just getting a whole lot of stuff. And if you're on the receiving end of that, you're like, well, how many more Iron Man t-shirts can a guy own? You know, it just starts to get a little overwhelming. So I mean, I canceled all that sort of stuff a while back, not because they weren't good services or that the prices weren't good, but that I don't want to become a hoarder with dead cats under the newspaper stacks. You know what I mean? So I stopped doing it.
Maybe the right is in. You know, is can a service handle when it drops down like that? Because that's you know, because there's going to be lulls, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to always happen. But then people are going to remember and go, oh yeah, I want to start getting Loot Crates. Usually it's in the fall.
Yeah,
you're
that's
like,
true.
Oh, I want stuff.
Plus a good gift, right? Give that gift. The gift that just keeps on giving every month. A box shows up with a bunch of shit in it. Sydney in the chat often says things that are smart. He just said that food crates make more sense because you eat the food. I think he's right. I like the food crates. Yeah, and I think those are here to stay. I think those are fine. Food crates will continue to be a thing. You order your HelloFresh or your Blue Apron or whatever it is.
Blue Apron.
Shows up, you open the box and you go, I'm going to eat that. Like, that's different.
And then you
forget
all about it, right? You can't wait for the next one to come. So, yeah. That's not a bad point.
Yeah.
Whereas I guess there's only so much loot you can put in your room before you go, okay, I've got a problem.
Are you on any kind of club? I used to be on a hot sauce club. Do you do anything like that? Like a monthly
thing?
No,
I'm not currently doing any clubs. Not physical items. I've actually considered it a few times, but I belong to a lot of digital clubs. We had actually briefly mentioned it before the show that I belong to the Humble Bundle monthly thing. I consider that a freaking club because I'll get like 8 to 10 games every month. And I'm like, I'm not going to use all these games.
Mm-hmm. You know how you say that word, by the way? This is how you're supposed to say it. Yeah, I got a lot of subscription things. I feel like that's my life is... My life of entertainment and goods and services is very digital these days. And so I think I'm okay with that because I already have enough stuff as it is. I need to get rid of things as it is. So,
yes, we are heading that way for a lot of us tech people. I think we're kind of wanting to simplify a little bit. At least a lot of tech people I talk to. I'm not sure it's not across the board, but
I agree. Let us talk about the video games of the week that Brian and I have messed with. As you know, on the show, we tend to focus on the more independent style titles. Not always, but sometimes. For example, Brian's playing a fairly mainstream game this week that I've talked about before. So I wouldn't call it necessarily indie, although it comes from a bit of an indie studio. But my picks today are as indie as you get.
Like, indie.
Super indie. So indie that you almost want to go find the lost Ark of the Covenant. That's how
right. You almost want to go say, throw me the game and I'll throw you the whip.
I'll throw you the whip, says Alfred Molina from Star Wars, or sorry, Spider-Man 2 fame. He played Doc
from
Ock.
Spider-Man 2 is Doc Ock, or is the Not Without My Daughter Sally Field said.
Oh.
Taking my. Is that what that was?
I don't
was
know. I don't remember that. Was that? No, that was Not Without My Daughter.
Not Without My Daughter, right?
I don't know. I hated
I'm pretty
that
sure
stuff.
That's what it was, because he was all like, hey, honey, we're going back to Middle Eastern country where I live, and we're just going to, you know, we're just going to stay there for a while. Psych!
Yeah, that's the stuff.
You're staying.
All right, I'm going to tell you about the first one. This is called Plunge. It is not a toilet simulator. It's a PC video
That's
game.
Too bad.
I know it is. It's a very odd thing, and it came out of nowhere. It was only $7. Saw it on Steam and went, what is this? And the reviews were really good. People were like, this is amazing. I can't stop playing this game. But my first impression was, this game's ugly. Like it looks like a desk scrawl in seventh grade kind of ugly, like your stoner friend in detention did it. Is the best way I can describe it. It's just very not, I mean, whatever your mileage may vary. Well, I mean, it's meant to be gross and weird, I guess, but I find it a little off-putting. It's not my favorite part of the game. I could go for a different style and be happy probably, but
yeah,
anyway,
it looks like even worse than that. It looks like somebody took desk art from high school and then said, hey, we should make a game in Flash.
That's exactly right.
And then somehow they ended up here in 2019.
Kinda. Although I wouldn't call it, I don't think it's very flash.
You don't think it's flashy?
No.
It looks like the characters are kind of they move like with that.
A little bit. Like they're 2D characters with, you know, elbow bending and knee bending, and you're not wrong, and there's probably something to that the way they're rigged, I guess, but
I'm just gonna tween this.
I like it a lot, and I can't stop playing it. I'm not sure what the hook is, but I'll tell you kind of how it works. So you go down to this hole, you plunge. Okay. Oh, I should tell you this weird story. So you're in this prison and you're this girl and you're trying to get out of this prison. You hate this prison. You hate everything about the prison. You want out of this prison. Turns out the only way to get out of this psycho prison is to go lower, not up, but down. And so the further you go, the harder it gets, the more guards you got to fight, the more weird abilities they have, the more tricky the ground puzzles are. The people watching it live and at home are seeing this right now where it's like a kind of a puzzle.
That's what it means. Plunge. You got to go deeper.
Yeah. See, you plunge in. You plunge down. Very good, Brian. You really picked that one right up. Good job on that. So here's the dealio. It plays a little puzzly, but not too puzzly. I'm not a big fan of like, hey, my mechanics are all about a puzzle. I don't feel that way here. It feels like the puzzles are important, but they're not the heavy part of the game. The heavy part of the game is how do I kill these guards and not die? I only have so many hit points. Get the guards or these creatures that have the different abilities, get the key, go to the next level, jump down the hatch, get to the next level. And it has a very much like, oh my gosh, can't wait for the next one, can't wait for the next one. Okay, I should go to bed. Oh, wait, I'll just do one more. Okay, wait, I just did that, so let's do one more. Like, it's just relentless in that regard. Mm-hmm. And it's a roguelike. So if you die, it's okay. You take some currency and stuff back with you so you can do a little better next time. It's that whole thing. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Wikipedia, roguelike, and you'll have a full understanding. But you already know I love these kind of games, so it was a no-brainer from the description to give this a shot and see if it, you know, fit the kind of game I like. And it turns out it totally does. Outside of the art style, which I think is kind of a bummer, the actual play of this thing is one of the most addicting games I've played, well, certainly this year.
Right
Just a weirdly
it's a little bit of like puzzle solving, right? It looks like there's puzzle solving involved.
There's some puzzle solving, sure. Yeah, and as I mentioned, the puzzles aren't the hard part.
You got to pick your right path, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. I say that, but it's not like you don't have to think way ahead. You don't have to go, oh, gotcha. I sure hope I don't screw this up and choose the wrong path. It isn't really like that. It's got pretty rudimentary puzzle mechanics. It's just enough to remind you that, oh, wait, I need to go this way, not that way, or else I'm not going to get the key. It's a little bit of that, but mostly it's focused on I need to either kill or avoid these guards. I need to get to the level where the lady gives me some power-ups. I need to go to the next level and do more cool stuff and watch out for more guards. It's better just to avoid them altogether. It's not like you get XP for them for killing them or anything. So if you can avoid them, that's great. And there's actually some power-ups that say, hey, if you avoid the next three guards and get out alive, you'll have double damage for the next round or for the next whole floor.
Double damage.
A lot of stuff like that. So a lot of little tweaks and things that change up the gameplay as you go and as you delve deeper in Plunge.
Right.
It's a really, really cool game. I'm completely enamored with it.
As much as you don't really care for this art style, it kind of reminds me of George Harriman's, like, Ignatz in Crazy Cat. Mm. And those kind of art styles, really old school kind of things. Not a huge fan of the animation style, but I kind of dig the art style. It's kind of, I kind of like that some of these dogs have little pucker butts.
Yeah, they kind of do. They got little balloon knots for bums.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, little.
Yeah. I know what you're into. You don't have to tell me.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I see what you're into. Buttholes. You're into buttholes. Yeah, it's just a cool thing. There aren't any reviews out yet from like actual reviewers. It's a very small game. It was made by one guy named Matthew Vimilsik, something like that. Came out on the 23rd. Apparently, this will also be on the Switch. This would be a great Switch game.
Oh.
I'm playing it on PC. It's only $7 on PC. I don't know what it'll be on Switch or what it is on Switch, but
I've spent way too much on the Switch lately. They've been $7 me to death.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll get you. That's how they get you. But in this case, it's a real winner. I keep bringing up the art style. It is not hindering my enjoyment of the game. It's just not my jam.
Right.
And actually, the gameplay, the art in the actual levels is fine. It works just fine.
Right.
My problem is the cutscenes are really rudimentary and look like seventh grade best friend drew it in Katachi.
Well, it reminds me of a what I call a cramped style. And what it is you used to draw like indie comics. You would draw them really small, or if you were doing comic strips, you'd draw them really small with ink, and you they would be kind of a little bit stiff maybe because they were so small. But it reminds me of that kind of art style, just that very small shapes of characters.
It's very smooth. It's very, you know, a lot of nice animation and the way the floor moves. I should mention when you move across a floor, chat can see this, but people listening just to the podcast, when you move the entire length unhindered. If there's nothing in your way, you just move the whole length of the grid.
Right.
And that's where some of the strategy comes in. So, for example, if you get in front of a bad guy and he's got a shield, like the guy currently on screen now, chat room.
Blocked.
He takes a turn to lift his shield, and then you can move again. The beauty of that is, A, he's not going to hit you yet. B, that's when he becomes exposed. Otherwise, if his shield is down, you're not going to hurt him. So when he goes to lift his shield up, if you're to the side of him or to the front, and he's only got so many hit points left, you can kill him very easily. The person playing this isn't very good. I found this stuff way easier to deal with.
Is it you? Oh, okay.
No, this is not me. I don't know who this is.
I'm going to agree with the chat room. This is a very like 90s indie comic scene. So if you're a 90s indie comic scene person that likes that kind of style, I think you might like it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Gameplay's where it's at, though. It's what really got me, and I really like it. So check it out. Available now on Steam and Switch, apparently, although I did not confirm it was in the Switch store. Just Wikipedia, Metacritic says it's on Switch. So I'm just taking their word for it.
Let me just see. I'll just take a peek at my Switch here.
Do it. And the name again is Plunge. And I think it's great because this is a small developer that deserves praise and people should spend $7 on this game. That's what they should do.
So if you like the game, take the plunge.
Yeah. I haven't played a game this year that made me not want to stop doing it. It definitely's got a breadcrumb trail for you if your brain reacts that way to games like this. And it just keeps you going and going and going, and you never want to stop. It's really good. All right, Brian, you've been digging deep into the otherwise AAA title, but made by a small team.
Yeah.
No Man's Sky. How's that going for you?
No Man's Sky. So I know we've talked about it on the show before, and I know you love this game. Mm-hmm. And I think I played it like on a free weekend or something. I had played it before, just very briefly, and I was kind of put off by it felt like a grind. I was like, I don't know, I don't want to play this game or not. But I went back, and now it's not a grind. Now it's just, Well, that's not true. It is a grind.
There's still a lot of stuff you got to do. You have to do stuff, you know.
There's a lot of stuff. Yeah. Before, I felt like I was just walking around aimlessly, and that's not the kind of grind I want. But now I have a purpose, so I don't mind, like, multitask grinding. Mm-hmm. That's kind of neat. And so I'm trying to learn all the shortcuts on the keyboard. When I first started playing No Man's Sky, I at least probably should tell what No Man's Sky is. It's an action-adventure survival game in space.
In space!
By Hello Games.
Yeah.
So it's been out for a few years. Had a rough start. Yeah. And they've kind of found their footing. They've kept on, and they've kept putting back into. As a matter of fact, I believe there was another update for No Man's Sky Beyond on the PC. I think it actually just came out.
Yeah,
today.
some bug fix balance right. stuff and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, one. And I actually had a chance to pop in, and it did see it. It was running smoother for me on my PC today. Mm. Maybe just coincidence. I don't know. Maybe my computer was like, "Hey, it's Labor Day. Let's take a break. It's easy. We got this." But I have really enjoyed learning all the systems, and because there's so much, there's stuff you have to do when you're in the ship, and then there's stuff you have to do when you're outside the ship, and you get to collect in both cases. And you get to craft in both cases. Sometimes you're doing stuff with minerals. Sometimes you're doing stuff with plants. Sometimes you're doing stuff with you know, animals. By the way,
Do you get a freighter yet? By the way, do you do that?
I haven't got the freighter yet.
Oh, you should get a freighter.
This game is a really deep dive, man. I'm like at 40 hours in worth of this game, and I haven't even. I'm still walking around like a noob. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what does this do? What happens if you go up and poke this animal? Well, he kills you. That sucks. I should have gotten my ship and saved, but I didn't, and now I got to start back over again.
Yeah.
I've been having fun naming my planet, so that's one of my favorites. I made my first home base. I believe it's my first home base. Intentional first home base when I wasn't just following through the stuff. And it was, I got in the atmosphere and it was nothing but water. Mm. And I said, ooh, this is neat. I'm going to name it the Costner. So I did. I landed, put myself a base up, and I named it the Costner. I should have called it paper.
Yeah, you should have called paper. It. You ever seen paper? You need a paper planet.
Have you ever
for
seen
that.
Paper?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. But I had another one too. I had another planet I got to name. By the way, if you find an unclaimed planet, you can claim that sucker, and I name other one Bobby Joe Planetary's Hole Suck, which is a great place. It's kind of got a lot of heat going on, a lot of toxicity, but it's all right. It's all right. As long as you stay in your ship, most of the time you're there, it's a good place to visit.
And don't forget, the there. Game is so freaking big. Oh, that's interesting. It's an earlier build of it. I'm watching here.
It is. I'm looking at the stuff that I think I actually put that in the show notes. I just look for. No commentary. I should have put some of the footage that I did, but yeah, this looks like
this the anomaly building that you go to now is a big, spacious, freaking giant multi-ship landing space with, like, I don't know, it feels like miles of space in it. It's really weird.
Oh yeah, it's got space on the inside of space.
Yeah, they've changed
but
a lot.
Man, so I hate to compare this to like Minecraft, but if you like Minecraft, this is way better.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think it's fair to compare it to Minecraft.
It's nothing like Minecraft, really. But if you like the idea of playing like survival or creative mode or kind of switching your games up kind of like that and getting in there and really just learning what each thing does, because everything begets something else. So you'll collect one resource and you'll need it so that you can build another resource, and you'll have to have certain resources to fuel your refineries. And so if you're really into that whole I want to craft something.
Yeah,
I really like this game.
Yeah, it's great. It's very cool. And like you said, I did talk about it sort of recent-ish, and up till last couple of weeks, it was almost all I was playing. But it has it's just in better shape than it's ever been. And I would argue that, you know, the big deal with this game is in 2013 or 14, whatever it was, they got up on stage at E3.
Oh, yeah.
Got up on stage in E3 and they showed this thing off, and it was too good to be true. And sure enough, when it launched, it wasn't anywhere near what they promised. It was the beginnings of it, but it felt like an alpha version of the thing that they were promising people. And people were very upset. They were mad that this game launched in that condition, that it didn't have all these features that people wanted or that they said they were going to get. But Hello Games kind of hunkered down and said, well, we're just going to keep updating it and make it amazing. So stick around. And some people did, some people didn't. But a lot of people did. And a lot of people, stuck with it. I was one of those people. And with every update, it got better and better and better. And they did these like sort of major updates. This being the biggest, it's called Beyond. It came out, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's really going to add us some more VR support for certain ones. It gave us some 4K, which I picked up. I was going to pick up the one for the PS4. Mm-hmm. It gave us some, did I say multiplayer stuff already?
No, but they did that. They added a bunch of extended multiplayer stuff. The main thing, it was a big thing to add VR, although I'm not using it that way, but PlayStation VR, right. Vive, all the PC stuff, they all got VR support. Which, you know, your mileage may vary.
I'm pretty excited about that. Also, by the way, Plunge is on the Switch store right now for $7.99.
I'm so totally going to get a copy on there.
I'm going to pick that up. I think I'll pick it up tonight. That's going to be my next. Also, by the way, the No Man's Sky did something that I didn't know what happened to me. I ended up enjoying No Man's Sky so much, and I've actually gotten back into Fallout 76 a little bit as well. And both those games have gotten really rocky starts, but they found a way to succeed. Now, I think No Man's Sky has done better than anybody at that, but it kind of made me think maybe I need to go back and give Anthem a second chance.
Not yet.
It's only been six months. I probably am a little bit early, and who knows? It's EA, but I did pick up the Xbox One version of that at the GameStop, and it's the Legion of Dawn edition. Giving those things away, and
Here's the deal with Anthem. Anthem has any legs in it, any game, if somebody works on it long enough, they can work out kinks and get it in a good shape.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're going to do it.
I think this is the one that's not going to do it.
Yeah, and I'm not doing the same old like, EA sucks at everything. I don't mean that. I just mean the way they behave about it, communicate about it, update it. Seems like they are half-assing it at best, and I just don't have a lot of faith in it. So it bums me out because a really cool fan gifted me a copy of it, and every time I check in there to see how things are going, because he was really excited, and he was like, yeah, we can play together. I'm like, yeah, dude, that sounds great.
Super cool.
Every time I check in, especially the latest update, I'm like, oh, this isn't good yet. What are they doing? Like, what are they doing?
I always have a really good time for about an hour or so when I get back into Anthem, and then I just start getting like disappointed. I'm like, oh, I can't.
No, it's sadness in video game form, and it really bums me out because it has so much potential.
It is such a cool concept, and it looks so good, and I just want to just be something.
I know.
Be something.
I know. Worst load times of the year, too. All kinds of problems with that damn thing. Anyway, there it is. No Man's Sky PC. It's awesome. It's great. And I would recommend keyboard and mouse if I were you because way easier to control everything and do everything
much better, because I'm telling you, when you start really getting further along and you start multitasking, those shortcut keys come in really handy. You can do it with a controller, but it's tough.
Yeah, I'm with you. What'd you name your ship? Did you name your ship?
I haven't named my ship yet.
You should name your ship.
I gotta name my ship. Well, I wanted to actually get another ship besides the first ship. I haven't picked up a second ship yet. 40 hours in and still riding around in the original hoopty.
Well, if you play creative mode, you can just go around and buy a bunch of ships if you want. It's pretty easy.
You know that, and that's one of the things too. That's one of the things that kind of slowed me down, because I started in normal mode, and then people were saying, "Oh, you got to play creative, or you feel like you're in a grind." I'm like, "Okay," so I played creative, and I feel like that was more of a grind, and so I went back and I played survival for just a hot minute, and then somebody said, no, Brian, you're missing out on all the cool stuff in normal, because when you're in normal mode, that's where most people are playing, and that's where you'll see the coolest things that are the bases and things that other people have made. So I'm back in normal, but I took a little detour.
I play it in both. I have a big normal save, and I have a creative save, and I like the creative save.
They got a big old normal save. Look at it.
I like creative save because I get to go run missions and earn money and become the richest thing in the galaxy. Yeah. I like doing that.
I feel like I was really moving along really quickly in creative, but I didn't feel satisfied.
It's just a playground at that point. There's no challenge to it. But if you're, because you don't have to worry about fuel, you don't have to worry about repair parts. If you want to go build something, you just automatically have the component parts to build it. It's just, you know, it's like any creative mode in these survival games, it works the same. If you want the challenge, then, you know, the other way is the way to go. But I would rename your ship. Mine is called the Dirt Pickle, and I'm proud of it.
Dirt pickle.
Yeah, dirt pickle.
I fell on the ground penis first, and now I call it the dirt pickle.
Well, I wasn't really referring to my peen, but I get you. I got you.
Right. How aren't you supposed to take that?
I mean, there's hardly any other way to take it now that you say it. I think I agree with you.
Can you even think of that?
All right, we're going to talk now about a little game called Undermine.
Ooh, and Underminer? Undermine?
No, just Undermine, not the Underminer.
I gotcha.
Undermine is another roguelike. I like these. If it hasn't been obvious for the many years that I've talked about video games, I'm a huge fan of this particular subgenre. And I like what people do with it. I think it's very creative. Rogue Legacy probably still the crowning achievement for a lot of reasons. That's just really strong entry in that. But also more recent efforts like Dead Cells marries the roguelike experience with a kind of a Metroidvania style game, which is different and more, takes it in different places. I love that game to death. So many I could mention. I'm not going to do that, but I am going to tell you that Underminer is looking real good. So let me tell you what it is. Yeah. So you go to this town and you talk to the head wizard man who says, we got a problem. There's a bunch of bad shit happening in the mines. We got to have you go down there and tell us what's going on in the mines. So your job is to go down to these mines and it's a very much melee focused kind of experience. Like a lot of these games, the combat is often very ranged, you know, like arrows and magic and things like that. This game focuses a great deal on melee combat, which is kind of refreshing and also challenging in its own right, because you kind of get up close to stuff. And there's also a jump mechanic, which means you can jump over huge chasms and things like this, and over enemies if you're trying to do like boss fights and stuff. You go into these areas and you are trying to get all the gold and the junk and the weapons and the whatnot that fall out of things. There's treasure chests.
Look, some fell. This guy, I'm collecting it.
It's all loot. You know how loot works. It's loot.
Loot works.
It's all randomly generated.
I like that idea. I wish there was like a cut animatic for that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It'd be fun for like half a minute to like just stuff falling out of a guy's pockets.
Yeah, just pouring out of him. Sure, why not?
Yeah, you're picking him up.
Yeah, and there's great big, treasure chests, and you very kind of Zelda-like open these things. It's generated on the fly, so no run is the same. They explain that. Yeah. The wizard guy explains that that's part of the weird magic enhancement of the place, that's how things behave. And every time's different.
What's this bird that's following you?
So he will help you. He'll later, throughout the game, you can find some that will help you fight. There's others that will help pick up gold before the little goblin guys try to steal it. You're trying to earn gold, because even if you die, your little bird friend or whatever friend you have will go back
to
town.
He's like, I got you, bro.
He'll go back to town with your gold a portion of your gold, so you don't lose it all. So even if you die,
I mean, he's a bird. He only can carry so much, right?
Right.
I mean,
he's got bird problems, man. You can't help it. But all the tropes are there. You know, you run into merchants halfway down the thing. He has some stuff if you have the cash to buy, if you want. If you get these runes and you spend those back in town, those are more permanent upgrades that make you stronger over time. And you just go level after level, down, 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 a little bit like my other game that I mentioned today, but a very different kind of progression. And
Have you named your bird?
No, you can't name him anything. I mean, I could call him something, I guess, but you can't rename your bird.
Come on.
I mean,
what if I wanted to play like I was Bastion and I had Ganymede with me? What if I...
Well, what if? That's a great question. What if then? If
I'm
not
gonna need a mod.
Yeah, if not then who? If not when, then how? But anyway, so you get more powerful as you go, and the more stuff you got, the better you are and all that. It's challenging as crap. You're going to die a lot. It's meant to be that way. It's how these games kind of are.
Yeah, that's what I like about my rogues.
And that's interesting. This guy's having a hard time jumping in. Interesting. I never tried that. Anyway, the boss fight, first boss fight, they explain nothing. You just have to kind of figure out what is he doing? How is he moving? Oh, I get it. I got to go this direction or whatever. It's tricky and challenging and feels really good when you accomplish it. And I really, really like it. So what I've described, let me speak about graphically and stuff for a second. It's very 16-bit looking.
Cute.
Yeah, it's cute, but it's Everything's very well animated and like super detailed and just feels good. The combat feels good. It just feels good. And I'm going to recommend it
highly.
What's
this called again? Undermine?
Undermine.
And it's not out on the Switch yet.
Nope. PC
only. It says 2020.
Yeah, PC only at the moment. I think it's still under, I think it's maybe even a very highly polished early access title at this moment.
Right. It looks really good. It looks fun. How many hours in are you? Do you know?
Like probably three, four hours is all. Not a ton yet, but I fully plan on keeping this going. I really like it. This is completely my jam. And one of my favorite things is to sort of zone out and play this kind of game. So if that sounds interesting to you at all, it's only $15 and it's on Steam. You can get it now. $15. And it's worth every freaking penny. I mean, and when they put it out, it's clearly already in really good sort of finished shape to me.
Right.
It strikes me as this game looks like it's done. You know, like we're not.
Are you sure it's not done? Oh, it's not done.
It feels pretty done. Feel like this feels like developers that aren't willing to put it out unless they're really happy with how things are going. And it seems like they're pretty happy with how it's going. Certainly, good. The reviews are strong. People seem to like it, and I am totally in that camp. So again, that game is Undermine, available on PC now. Go check it out if you are so inclined. Brian, tell me about Human Fall Flat, please. What is that?
Oh, Human Fall Flat. How can you not have heard or seen Human Fall Flat? Because apparently you have a huge marketing budget. Every time I turn around for an indie game, this thing is always in my face. Developer is No Break Games.
I have this. Okay, sorry.
Go ahead. You probably have this. Yeah. Curve Digital is the publisher. This is a physics puzzler is what it is, and you'll know right away because you play these human blob things that look like babies, and they're just walking around, and they kind of look like what's the character from that Disney movie with the Hero Six? Kind of like remind me like of mini Hero Sixes, except you can dress them up in all these cute little costumes and things. But the character walks around. You have to solve puzzles, and usually by climbing over things and moving things, manipulating objects in the environment so that you can get to the next area, usually through a door.
Baymax,
like I
that's
said,
his name. Little Baymax.
Baymax, that's what I was looking for, Baymax. So yeah, you have to go and you have to walk up to a little platform, and you have to hold your hands out, and they kind of wobble around like a baby's hands, and you don't really have exact control, but then you grab a hold of surfaces and you pull yourself up and you climb and you move, and it's pretty addicting. I haven't played multiplayer yet. I hear that's where all the real fun is. I've mostly just been playing single player so I can get used to getting that muscle memory of how to make these characters move.
I played it before it was full release, and my impression was that they almost like they built a game for streamers. That's how it feels.
They really did, because it's silly and goofy. They've really kept up to date. They've been releasing content. They release content all the time. It's been out since 2016. Another game came out in 2016, and I enjoyed it. I purchased it on the Switch, and I think that's probably my preferred platform. I don't know if I want to sit at a computer desk and do this. This is something that I probably want to sit and just randomly play on my lap.
That reminds me, my light will be here in. When do they get out? When do they ship?
You got the, that's right. You said you did get the light. I forgot about that.
I can't remember. Switch. Well, let's find out real quick.
Soon. It is soon.
Switch light release.
Switch light. That thing's been everywhere in the news lately too. Boy, you can't really get away from it.
Yeah, here it is. Well, they just had, they had one at PAX. They've been showing it off different things. I'm not too surprised.
Right.
20th of September. So we got a couple of weeks, but.
Oh yeah, not very long at all. Then that's this month.
Yep, I'm getting a yellow one.
We're practically there. Well, are you going to get it day one?
Yep, I got the whole Amazon guarantee deal coming. We'll just show up at the
house. What was the colors? There were yellow and like a gray, right?
Blue, like a blue color. Blue. I don't know if it's the only two though. Maybe there's more than that. I can't remember, but I know it's at least the yellow and the blue, and the blue's kind of this aquamarine thing.
Right. And if you're in the chat room watching live, you'll notice these Human Falls Flat. All we wall walk like they got a diaper full of poo. You know, it's just.
It is like a baby. Yeah.
It is like a big. It's like a baby. You can't quite get all the. You know, you're not really fully grown yet, and you just kind of flopping around a little bit.
It's a really odd game. I enjoyed my time with it when I played it, but it was way early access before. I should try it more. Right. I should try it again. It's still installed.
It's very ragdoll. And it's basically, you know, you're basically using stick. So you'll move your character certain places and certain objects they can stick to, and they'll just grab the character, will just grab hold. You won't even really physically do it because they're like blobs. Mm-hmm. And so you're just kind of like grabbing and trying to use some kind of upward momentum or downward momentum. The one thing I do like is the way if you fall off the edges, which most of the places I was playing, it was quite easy to do. Mm-hmm. And if you fall off an edge, you don't just die, like just disappear. You actually fall back onto the world. So it kind of is like this loop where you're like falling like, then you boom, you like land back at a location near where you were at.
It's a weird like world, a man. Everything about this thing is odd.
Fun though.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah. It's really cool. I like it. I streamed it once and didn't really know what I was doing. So that was good.
Right. Right.
But exactly. I would consider playing this again for sure. This is something
you should totally play again.
I mean, why not? Like,
what's stopping you?
Yeah,
Scott?
What's stopping me? Nothing. Nothing's stopping me.
You need, this will be the first game you need to put onto your Nintendo Switch Lite.
Well, probably not. Well, I'm getting Link's Awakening on there first, I think.
Oh, you're getting that right away?
I'm
excited about that. I'm very excited about that.
That's the number one thing I'm excited about with that, and just in general this year with Nintendo. The one game I care the most about, I think, is.
Is that ship with the light?
No, you got to buy it.
No, it comes out. When's it coming out?
It's same day and date, I think. I think it's on the 20th.
I think you're right.
I'll get it digital or whatever, but my Nintendo doesn't ever give anything away.
That's fine. That's fine. Because that is a low risk. I don't think I've ever been, I've never been flat out disappointed with a Zelda game.
No, they're all good. Have you played Link's Awakening before, like back in the day on the Game Boy? It was amazing. It's one of the greatest Zelda games ever made. So this remake is just screaming my name, and I will play it. I will have it. I will play it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even care if it's broken. I'm excited about it.
I don't even care if it's broken. I'll show them. I'll just walk around in circles.
That's right.
I don't care.
Anyway, look forward to the 20th. And that sounds like a nifty game to go pick up. Again, it is called Human Fall Flat. I wanted to make a quick mention. All this stuff going on this week with World of Warcraft Classic that launched.
Oh, yeah.
you'll laugh because I got basically far enough to get... Well, I got kind of close to where I would start heading toward Raid Fire Chasm. Wailing Caverns.
Wailing Caverns.
Where your cow is still dead and rotting.
Down there. You know he is.
His bones are in there.
Waiting.
But that was pretty funny. But anyway, I've talked about it ad nauseum on other shows, the instance and core and stuff. So if you want to go hear me really go deep, then you can. But I'll just say this. For some reason, Classic, which isn't really doing it for me, I'm not interested in doing that over again. I did it. I did the 1-60 in vanilla format.
Right.
All those years ago. I don't have a lot of nostalgia for it because I did it already and I carried through to modern. So all it did for me, and I think this is brilliant of Blizzard, because there are a lot of people coming back to play that, to play just that. There's some people who are just happy to be doing that as an distraction right now. But the bottom line is more people are back to play WoW than ever as a result. And that includes me, where I went, ooh, Classic. Oh, wait a minute. You know what I want to do? I'm going to go make a new character in the retail game. I'm going to do that. And I went and made three new dudes. I got a level 30 warrior right now who I'm playing with. I got a level 10 freaking dwarf hunter. I've never made a dwarf before, so I'm doing that. Like, I'm playing the game as if I've never played it before. And it's all this tricksy little plan they had of getting everybody, no matter what your preference is, they just got a way of hyping you up again. And the community's having a great time, and everybody's happy, and it's great. So there you have it. Good stuff. All right. That's it. And Dan, who you say you just have a mention, but I think it's just about your small peen, it says.
It was about my dirty peen.
If you guys see our notes, it says, just a mention that it says, I have a small peen.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. Actually, I was just a copy from the last time, and I'd actually already mentioned a couple of things, but like the anthem and things. So,
it's really weird. It's really weird that you just want to talk about your peen in the show.
Well, let's just see if you can guess my game, sucker.
Okay, let's try it.
It's
It's time for Guess My Game. And Guess My Game is just that. We try to guess each other's games. And I think I start. Don't I start? I always start. I forget.
You usually start. That's usually the way it goes.
I need to remember this. It's the opposite of what I do on Wednesdays with Ibbit with recommendals. He goes first on that show.
Right.
And then if I just remember that I'm second there, then I'm first here. Yeah, I got it. So here's this. Here's the thing. I'm going to play it, see if you can guess it. Let's just say, here's the hint. Let's say stay in the Nintendo range for this, okay?
Oh, interesting.
It's older, but you don't have to stray too far. Here you go. Any idea yet?
No. Is that...
It's a the other hint is it is a N64 title. If that helps.
Interesting. It does not, but I do love the N64. Oh man, I don't know. That sounds like some kind of party game that I would have guessed like Wii party games or something. It's something weird. That just sounds so action-packed.
Well, the answer is not that. The answer is F-Zero-X on the N64. It was a racing game, and it was part of the F-Zero series. First game came out on the Super NES. This was a follow-up to that. And basically, it's like a Nintendo-y, cartoony sort of version of Wipeout that you would play on the PlayStation, which was a little more of a serious take on future hover car racing and, futuristic racing stuff. I didn't play very much of it. I don't think it's the best in the series by any stretch. I think the GameCube F-Zero game was better, and I forgot the name of it, but whatever it's called. I think that was the better of those games. I still more of a Wipeout guy, it turns out. But I did remember it, and I thought, hey, what if we captured that? And it's just chaos noise. There's nothing in there that make you know unless you know. You'd have to play it a lot to even know, because that was just noise. Sounds like an arcade to me. That game.
It does. It was very wow. It was just like a lot going on.
Yeah, pretty crazy. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours now. I have no idea what this is. Do you want to give me any hints or just play it?
Nintendo.
Oh, all right. Here goes. Kirby game?
Super Nintendo.
Okay, Super Nintendo.
1996.
Boing! It's such a impotent little noise. Oh, what's this?
Rick. Yeah, blow that whistle. Give it up yet?
I don't know what this is.
One of our main characters from the Nintendo world.
Hold on, don't tell me. Is it a Kirby game or no?
No, it is not Kirby.
Okay, is it
Has Mario in it.
Oh, is
it a regular Mario game?
It's not Mario RPG, is it?
Of course, it's Mario RPG.
Oh, yeah, I played that game. Yeah, familiar.
I kind of picked a random. I picked a random bit out of the game, so I mean, it's probably not even an area you might even played in much.
Yeah, I love the Mario, like Paper Mario, Mario RPG, the ones that were on DS and GBA. Mario and Luigi's Super Saga, whatever it is, whatever those are. I love those games.
Mario and Luigi's Super Soggy.
So, yeah. Oh no, Mario! He'd say.
Oh no! You dropped your sandwich into the toilet. Oh,
it's soggy. It's soggy. I love those games. Those games are great. So Nintendo, make more of those, please, and put them on the Switch so I can walk around with it and play them at my leisure. Big fan. All right. Well, nicely done. That went wrong. All right, hey, check this out, everybody. Time for a quick email. This is from a listener named John. On Twitter, he is Scanline75. So of all the scan lines on your television, he's the 75th down. Or is he the 75th up? Which would you say, down or up?
My guess is probably he was born in 1975.
Oh, could be. All right, man.
And he likes the scan lines.
He's a 45-year-old man, if that's true. All right, here you go.
Well, could be a woman. Could be a woman. Could be a German Shepherd.
They don't usually go by John, but sure, they could be a woman.
Right. John, the German Shepherd.
Yeah. Says, hi, Scott and Brian. I've played most of them, meaning space games. He wants to talk about space games. Played most of them. Wing Commander, Privateer, X-Wing, Freelancer, Rebel Galaxy, Nomansky, to name a few. He spelled it Nomansky. That's why I said it that way.
That's the way I do it. I got to do it. That's what I call it.
Even played, Escape Velocity, Nova, and Terminus, one of the Vicarious Visions first titles. I've seen those as well on Steam. They were all great in their own way, but none have reached the levels of immersion I experienced with Elite Dangerous using the Oculus Rift and HOTAS setup, H-O-T-A-S. That's the headset.
Yes.
Head tracking.
Hands on.
Whatever it is. Tactical. Trigger. Anal suction. Whatever it is.
Wait here.
I'm not into
talking.
He says I'm not. Oh, you have the HOTAS? Oh, he's going out the door. Or did the anal sucking make him have to go take a dump? All right, well, we wait for him. Here he is. What do you got? Let me see. What is it?
Ooh, a Logitech Wingman.
Oh, that's your stick, but that's not the whole, that's not the head tracking.
I know I'm not there yet, but I was just so excited.
Can you play No Man's Sky with that? I wonder if you can play it with that.
I'm trying tonight.
Oh, give it a shot.
I'm going to get out in space and I'm going to fly.
I like Elite Dangerous. Should play
it's
it
not
more.
Bad, though. There's, you can pick up one of those fairly reasonably now.
Yeah. What, Elite with Dangerous or the stick?
Oh, that, too.
Oh, okay, the tracking and all that. Anyway, he says something there. I'm not into simulations.
I would love to have all the equipment.
Says I'm not into civilizations. I'm not into simulations or VR, really, but there's something about seated in a VR experience, seeing your hands move the joysticks, looking out the window at the immensity of the gas giant. The sense of scale is incredible. Once you get past the basics, Elite is not a huge lift to learn. I don't know about that. I had a hard time with learning the basics of that game. Anyway, you can play solo in private groups or fully online. You can mine, trade, run missions, etc. You can even buy an auto lander module for your ship if you want, which I absolutely want. In short, as a space game fan, I can tell you, if you can get your hands on an Oculus and HOTAS, he uses the Satech X52. I highly recommend trying it out. It's easy to install and run via the Oculus library. Happy flying, John. Well, that sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun, but it's, you know, I've been going through a little bit of a revival with equipment because I would love to have that kind of a setup. And I'd also like to have the steering wheel setup. They make a nice, for a long time, whenever you would get the steering wheel and the pedals and stuff, you would just attach it to your desk. And that was always ganky, but now they have like frames that you can purchase that kind of like almost resemble a car frame around it. So you could actually sit at something like that. I'm very excited about this stuff.
Interesting. Well, at the very least, I may crack that open again and remind myself why I liked Elite Dangerous in the first place. Thank you for that.
I've never played Elite Dangerous.
No, I have, but it's great. Imagine No Man's Sky, but not arcade controls. Like, it's very it's very simmy. You know, you're what do they call it? Newtonian space, Newtonian physics, like actual outer space object physics. That kind of stuff is there. Landing is a freaking nightmare. So you want that docking computer? I haven't done any of the stuff that's like on planets. I guess that's a thing now, but I don't know to what extent. Anyway, I do like.
If you had told me when I was a kid that all this stuff would come to fruition in my lifetime. It's not happening like exactly how I thought it would as a child thinking, oh man, what if I had my own arcade machine in my house? And what if, you know, what if I had all the sticks and stuff and all that, and you could just sit down and play a video game and be totally immersed. It's here.
Yeah.
It doesn't look nothing like I thought it would.
Let's see. You can land on planets with the Horizon DLC and drive around in a buggy. Really? Maybe I need to get that. I never got the DLC, so I don't know how that worked. All right. Well, yeah, great recommendation. Thank you, John. We will check it out. That, again, is Elite Dangerous and a HOTAS setup. He likes the SAITEK, S-A-I-T-E-K, X52.
Yeah, I was looking at the SAITEK this past week, and it looks very good.
Yeah, it seems all right. The one you got probably works just fine.
This is just part of everything I wanted, and I was like, let me just get the Wing Commander out just to see if it'll do anything, and then if it does, if it gives me some kind of partial joy, maybe I'll delve deeper.
I've got one of those somewhere. I don't know where it is. Something somewhere. I just need to hook it all up. Anyway, fly well, everyone. Fly well. It's going to do it for the show. Now, if you stick around, listeners who are here live, we're going to give away some game codes. So don't go anywhere.
Yes.
And we'll do that for you. Okay? Stick around. Some winners will be picked. Also, for those wondering how the hell you find us in this world, all you need to do is go to frogpants.com/BOOP. That's frogpants.com/boop. Leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. I got a couple in there to go through. Might be one for the show. Who knows? Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. We are at Boopshow on Twitter. Brian's at the Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson.
Oh, hi.
And like we said, the show's at Boopshow. Boopshow.reddit.com if you want to submit some stories for us. And as always, have a great week gaming. Brian, do you have anything to add? Any final words of wisdom before we cut these fine people off?
Absolutely. Had a great time. The last 2 weeks I've been doing a bit of a Twitch marathon of sorts, 2 hours a day, every day, except for the last few days where I've been instead doing some plumbing at the in-laws' house. But I had a really good time. Got a lot of new follows, got a lot of subscribes, and just had a blast playing No Man's Sky, Need for Speed, Horizon, Forza, excuse me.
What's more grindy, plumbing for your in-laws or playing No Man's Sky? Which is a more grindy experience?
Oh my gosh, it's such a grind to do plumbing, man. Mm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
And you know what? When you're doing plumbing in the in-laws, there's no smart chat room to help you out. Mm. They just, you know, it's just you talking to the toilet.
Yeah. It's nobody wants to do. All right.
Nobody wants to.
Well, that's fantastic. Do check out his stream over there. It is
Brian Dunaway.
Brian Dunaway. Well done getting that. That's good. Getting your real name is awesome. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We will be back next week with another look at video games from our dumb perspective. Thank you all very much for being here. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.